we have all been walking together on a journey toward Easter. And to get to Easter, we have to go through Good Friday. And I really want to commend you, all of you, seriously commend you on hanging in there and closely, faithfully following the Word of God as it has been brought to you in this Lenten season by Pastor John and Pastor Adam and me, as we have been leading you toward the resurrection, but going through death. And we know that all of you are spiritually ready to let your loved ones go to be with the Lord in death. You're spiritually ready, but none of us are emotionally ready ever to let our loved ones go in death. Therefore, we have been very, very careful. We've been certainly very, very biblical, but we've also been very careful to be very sensitive, because there's a lot of broken hearts here among us right now of people that have lost loved ones and recently, and a lot of broken hearts and a lot of pain and a lot of grief. And so we're being sensitive to that along this walk. And like Pastor John just said, you have been helping us to walk this walk with you by texting to us your questions, so that as we guide you through this process of death and resurrection, that you can text us with your questions about what have we not covered yet. And so in just a minute, we're going to answer some of the questions that have been coming in this week. And so some of those were answered by us reading these scriptures today. But as the disciples of Jesus who walked that walk with him towards Good Friday, as they walked with him towards the cross, the closer they got to Good Friday and closer to the cross, they all became much more fearful. They all became much more concerned and much more sad and brokenhearted. And you and I are pretty much similar, the same, and that is that as we get closer to Good Friday ourselves, then we are feeling the weight of the death of Christ and feeling the weight of death around us here. And so I just want to say I commend you for closely hanging in there with God's Word, and I urge you to keep in there. Keep following God's word, keep trusting him, and let's keep walking this walk together. Now, about 23 years ago, our country was attacked. Our country was attacked by forces of evil, foreign enemies. And on that day, 2,977 deaths took place. 2,977 people died on those attacks against us and our country. And our country was thrown into a war to restrain evil. And as a part of the events that happened on that day, there was an event that was called the hijacked flight of Flight 93. Flight 93 was hijacked and was intended to fly and crash into the White House, killing an unknown, amount of people there. But one man by the name of Todd Beamer, he was actually on his iPhone, his smartphone, with his wife talking, and he knew that that had just happened. And he knew that the Pentagon was happening and that all that stuff. And he knew that his plane being hijacked was a part of that plan. And so Todd Beamer, he recruited a couple of his fellow passengers, and they stormed the cockpit, and they took over the cockpit and the pilot to save all those lives. But in the event, that plane crashed in Pennsylvania, and all, including Todd Beamer, were killed. But his last words were captured by his wife listening to that. His last words before they rushed the cockpit were, anybody remember? That's right. Let's roll. Let's roll. And so while all this was happening, our son-in-law was in the United States Marine Corps serving our country. And our daughter was living with him on a military base in California. And so little wifey and I, we would go to California occasionally, and we would visit them. And we would pull up to this gigantic military base, and we would make it through the check gates in the security station there. And when we would get through the security gates there and they'd let us in, we'd wind our way through the base and we'd make it to the neighborhood that was filled full of, it seemed like 1,000 duplexes in there for the military families. And as we were driving through that neighborhood, each time we did this, actually, we drive through that neighborhood and we drove past just countless rows and blocks and blocks and blocks of homes. And in the front yard of each of those duplexes, each one of them was a sign. And the sign read, Daddy comes home in blank number of days. And that was an erasable, dry erase that they kept track of it. And we just looked at every one of those as we kept driving and kept driving. And every one of them would say, Daddy comes home in 295 days. Daddy comes home in 75 days. Daddy comes home in 30 days. They were all different. And they would keep up with that every day. And it was very sobering for wifey and I to drive that drive, because our daughter was going through the same thing. And she was counting those days, but it was just a testimony of families are separated so severely. And so that's because in those families, the separation would eventually end, at least for a little while, because every now and then, maybe every week or two or three, a plane would land on that base. And it would be soldiers returning home on leave. And so what would happen at that time was there would be some powerful, powerful reunions, because Daddy had been gone a long time, and because some of their neighbors' daddies never came home. And so those reunions after being separated for so long were absolutely powerful. Powerful. You know, I heard a saying one time that the most sincere hugs and kisses are not at weddings, but at airports. Airports, reunions, being back together with someone that you've been separated from is so powerful. And we're going to talk about that today. And so I commend, the military for helping those families to stay together while the daddies and mommies are overseas, restraining evil and restraining the evil that's trying to tear our world apart and to tear our families apart. And, you know, the military really does do a good job of doing that, and the gospel does an even better job of doing that. The gospel restrains evil by the living Word of God. The living Word of God holds us together and restrains evil when the evil one is trying to tear us apart and tear our families apart. And so that's especially true when the evil one tries to use death to separate you from your loved ones. Now, we have said many times in these last few weeks that death separates your body from your soul. Your death separates your body from your soul, and it also separates us from our loved ones. And even though we know that our separation from our loved ones is temporary, it still hurts. It hurts big time. And so that has to deal with one of the questions, several of the questions that you sent in this week. And so this week we received some of your requests, and one of your requests was, will we know our family in heaven? So thank you for writing in those requests, and this was the most common request this week, was the answer to this question. Now, I will progressively answer this question a little bit throughout the rest of this message. But to give a quick, kind of a one-word answer, well, a few words to this quick answer, and that is that, will we know our families in heaven? For those who are believers in Christ, and for those who have not rejected Christ, the answer is yes. You will see and know your family in heaven. And even though, again, that separation between you and them is only temporary, the good news of the cross overcomes the bad news of death, even though the bad news is still extremely painful. Grief caused by death cuts deep. It cuts deep into the very heart and soul of you. And it is crushing, and it can be almost overwhelming amount of grief. But as we just read in our scripture a little bit ago, that grief is not as those who have no hope. We grieve, but we grieve knowing that there will be a reunion, that we will see the Lord and we will see our family again. And so what we've been talking about, what we're talking about especially today is there are some different reunions. There's the ultimate reunion at the resurrection of all of the dead on Christ's return, when Christ comes again. But from the moment that your loved one dies, at the moment that they close their eyes for the last time in this life, they open their eyes in the presence of the Lord immediately, at that moment, spiritually. There will be another reunion that's physical, but this one is spiritual. And so it's interesting, and that is that, you know, Jesus tells us, and everything Jesus says is true. And he says that I will never leave you, and I will always be with you, and you are in me, and I am in you. And so in a very big, totally real way, he does never leave us. He's with us now. He's with us when we die, and we're with him the second after we die. We're still with him, and our spirit, our soul, our heart, if you will, is still, never dies. It's still alive in Christ and with him. But that is our first reunion after we die, is we're with the Lord spiritually, and we're with our family. We're with our loved ones and the entire body of Christ. Let me give you some examples about that. Not too long ago, we had Transfiguration Sunday, to where we read the scripture passages about the Transfiguration. And in, when we read that and when we heard the message about that, we heard that Peter, James, and John followed Christ up a high mountain. And when they were up on the mountain, it said suddenly Christ began to glow. The Shekinah glory of God was bursting through him. And at the same time, Moses and Elijah appeared there with him. And so the disciples, they saw Moses, they saw Elijah, and they saw and watched them having a conversation with the Lord. And so what that helps you and I understand is that that happened before Christ comes again. Christ hadn't even gone to the cross yet. He hasn't even risen on Easter yet. And so those guys have been dead for a long time, and yet they're having a conversation and a relationship with Christ right there. But then the scripture says that they both disappear immediately, which gives us a glimpse. I know we've been saying that the scripture is mostly silent about the time of rest after we die. But there are wonderful, beautiful helps of us, and that's one of them, is that Moses and Elijah, that was spiritual. They were spiritual. They didn't have a resurrected body because nobody had been resurrected yet. They were spiritual. So in the same way, King David, he gives us a wonderful insight into this. When his little son died, he said, he will not come back to me, but I will go to him. This is the word of God, the Holy Spirit writing this scripture through David and telling us that, yes, we will have a reunion with our family. Even though the priority is to have a reunion with Christ and to be with the Lord, yes, we will see our family. And so, you know, it's we have, like the Apostle Paul, he knew the Lord maybe closer than anybody. Okay, David and Moses might have, been pretty close there, but the Apostle Paul knew the Lord. And he saw the Lord, you know, on the road to Damascus, and he had many different visions and many different, the Lord spoke to him and through him, but he says, I would prefer to leave this life and to be with him. Well, Christ is already with him, big time. But he would prefer to leave this life and be with him. And so each phase of reunion is better even than this. Our life in Christ right now is fantastic, but it's better when you die. When you die, that reunion is better. And when Christ comes again, when we are in Christ and he's in us, yes, our soul continues to live, but on that last day, when Christ comes again, there will be a reunion between our soul and our body will be back together. This time it will be an incorruptible new body for eternity, is united with our soul, and we are also united with the body of Christ, our loved ones and our family, and most of all, we are united with our Lord in physically, not just spiritually, on that time, on the last day. Now that is a reunion worth getting excited about and celebrating. Another peak is our scripture that we read today. Jesus keeps telling his disciples for the 3 years that he walked with them, in a little while, you know, I'm going to go away. And they didn't quite understand it, but as they got closer to Good Friday, Jesus said, in a little while, but this time he means in just a few hours. And so on Maundy Thursday, when he said this scripture, he's just a few hours away from death. And so in a little while, the world will not see me, but you will see me. And sure enough, a little while later, Jesus died. But then 3 days later, they had a reunion. They saw him again. And then he went away again. And then a couple days later, they saw him again. Then they were on the beach and they had a meal with him. And then over the next 40 days, they saw him again and again and again, many reunions. But then all the disciples, when they died, then they had another reunion. Spiritually. But all of those disciples who have died are still waiting, like your loved ones, for the return of Jesus and the resurrection of the body on the last day. But they're all with him right now. And so this talk of Jesus in our scripture today about I'll be gone in a little while, that actually reached forward in time to include you and to include me. In a little while, you won't see him, but in a little while, you will. And so we, when our temporary earthly body dies, our soul will be with him spiritually, but then ultimately on that day, we will be with him fully. Now, that in a little while is not the words that Jesus used when he was on the cross speaking to the thief next to him on the cross. He didn't say, in a little while, you will be with me in paradise. He said, this day. And so your family, your loved one that has gone before you, they, that moment, that day, they were with Christ in paradise. So we could say even though it's only a spiritual reunion, it's paradise. It's paradise. And so it is a relationship with God and with the body of Christ, including our families. And so until then, until we get to see the new heaven and the new earth and be a part of it at the resurrection and the return of Christ, until then, we are either ourselves dead, our body, and we are spiritually alive in Christ. But if we're not that, then we are here, like you and I are right now. We're still here in this temporary earthly life, and you and I are still walking this walk with the Lord in his word, sharing his word so that others can hear his word, receive his grace, come to faith, be forgiven, and be reunited also at the reunion when Christ comes on the last day and when they die. And so, you know, that's the only reason that Jesus has not returned yet? He's waiting. He's waiting for you and I to walk the walk and invite others to do the same so that others can be included in that reunion. Spiritually when they die, physically on the last day. Until then, God is restraining evil through you and through me. He's restraining evil through us when we answer his call to walk with him and invite others to do the same and be saved. Or in other words, Jesus is saying, St. Peter's, let's roll. Let's roll, St. Peter's. Amen.